Well, it is a joy to be here with you again tonight to bring the Word of God. Acts chapter 12, we're not going to read all of the verses, but I want to read some of the verses, beginning at verse 13. Acts 12, verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. And may the Lord be pleased to bless his word to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. I want to draw your attention to verse 13 and to the words, Peter knocked at the door. Or I suppose we could give it another title, Knock, Knock, Who's There? It's me. It's Peter. So that's what we're going to think about for a little time tonight. Now, at the beginning of the chapter, we learn that Herod had killed James, the brother of John with the sword. That is made clear in verse 2. And this had gone down very well with the Jews. And in a bid to continue to please the opponents of the church, and also to strengthen his own position, he had Peter arrested. Verse 3. And his intention, of course, was to have him executed. So right away we can see here the interference of the government. And I think this portion is very relevant for the day in which we live. Herod represents the government. He's the king of the land. And we have two communities here. The world represented by the king and the Jews. And then we have the church represented by Peter and the other believers. And we have these two communities and they're arrayed against each other, and they are both wielding their appropriate weapon. In the case of the world, it is the sword. And in the case of the church, it is supplication. And I think this is very relevant for us because right across the world today, governments are amassing more and more power and more control over men and women. Aren't we very conscious of this at this time? Therefore, what we're reading about here is relevant to us in our prayer meeting tonight. But then we also see here that because of the Passover, then he had to delay his plans. And so he kept Peter in prison. Meanwhile, the church met for prayer. So here we have the involvement of the church. Peter was kept in prison, but the church kept in prayer, because prayer was made without ceasing. And the adverb that is used is the word that is used of Christ praying in Gethsemane. He prayed earnestly. So here we find these believers at this critical time, when the government is interfering, when there's opposition to the church. The Church of Jesus Christ is praying like their master. They have intensified their prayers. They're praying earnestly, just the way he did. And the use of the imperfect tense in verse 5 makes it clear that Peter was kept in prison for a few days, and the church kept praying for him during that time. As long as the need was there, the church prayed. And this is the reason why there is a church on earth today, because there is a need. And the reason why there is a church is because there is a need. And it's our responsibility then to get often before the throne of grace in prayer. And so as we continue listening to the church praying, we put our ear to the door and they're engaging earnestly in prayer. And as they prayed, God set in motion a prison break. God set in motion a prison break. That brings before us the intervention of the Lord. Behold, the angel of the Lord came. It was a timely intervention because it was on the same night, the night before Peter was due to be executed. So it was a timely visitation of the Lord. So put these three things together. I'm just setting the message up, showing to you that it is relevant for today. The interference of the government, the involvement of the church is praying, and the intervention of the Lord. God came and intervened in his mercy and his grace. The angel of the Lord awakened Peter out of his sleep, freed him from his chains, told him to dress. Now you can imagine, here's a man sound asleep. He's not worrying about dying tomorrow. He's going to go to heaven anyway. And he's there, he's fast asleep. When Paul was in prison with Silas, they were singing. But here's Peter, he's fast asleep. He hasn't a care in the world. Doesn't matter what's going to happen tomorrow. After all, he had the promise of Christ that when you will be an old man, you will die. But he's not an old man just yet. So he's standing in the promises of God. He's depending upon the Lord, but he's fast asleep. And so the angel smites him. His chains fell off. He's told to get dressed. And then he's led out of the prison. Now, at first Peter thought he was having a vision. And then it suddenly dawned on him, I'm free. Aren't we all free tonight? No, we're free Presbyterians. We're all free. Hallelujah. He says, I'm free. Knowing that the church would be praying for him in the middle of the night, by the way. He knew that these believers would be praying for him in the middle of the night. Knowing that the church would be praying for him, he headed to the house where they usually met for prayer. And that brings me to my text for this evening. Peter knocked at the door. It's been an exciting night. It's been an interesting night. God has been busy. God has been doing marvelous things thus far. And now God's servant goes to the prayer meeting. And I have three simple things that I want to share with you. First of all, there's the interesting parallel. It says Peter knocked at the door. Now, if you glance at verse 5 and then again at verse 12, you will see there's a reference to prayer and to praying. You see that in these two verses? So in the context of prayer, we hear Peter knocking at the door. And the word translated knocked is the very same word that is used in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, familiar words to us all, found again in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, in relation to prayer. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, when you think about those words, the verbs, in those places in Matthew and in Luke, they are present tense. And that simply means, when you come to think about asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Well, that's exactly what Peter had to do on this occasion. He came and knocked upon the door, and he was compelled to keep on knocking. Knock, knock, who's there? It's Peter. Knock, knock, who's there? It's Peter. He had to keep knocking at the door. Now, at first he didn't get into the house, but then in verse 16 we're told he continued knocking. And this again is the same word used in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, concerning Christ, who said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Christ continued knocking at that door of the Laodicean church, but it remained shut. A very sad picture of a New Testament church. Christ cannot get into this church. He's excluded. There's not a place that he can enter. Peter continued to knock, but it was eventually opened. Now, I thought about the story over in Daniel chapter 10. And we're told in Daniel chapter 10 about Daniel. For 3 weeks, 21 days, he mourned, he prayed, and he denied himself wine and pleasant food and so on. And at the end of that period of time, a man appeared. The angel of the Lord appeared. And we're told in the Word of God that after that 3 week period, in verse 12, the voice of the angel brought a comforting message to Daniel. The message was, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." So he had been waiting for 3 weeks, exercising discipline, praying and seeking God, and nothing seemed to be working. Nothing seemed to be happening. And when the angel came, he brought a message to comfort his heart. From the very first day you exercise yourself before God, your voice was heard. Now, you had to wait, no doubt, all that length of time for a purpose. And the angel said, "I am come for your words." He had been praying for guidance and deliverance, and the angel was sent an answer to prayer. But Daniel had to wait for 3 weeks. Here is Peter. He's coming to the door. He's knocking on the door. But at the very beginning, he's not admitted. But he keeps on knocking the door. And I think that's the lesson that I would have you learn tonight. Prayer is not easy. Prayer is not easy. It's not easy to lay hold upon God. But the message tonight is, keep at it. Don't give up. Be like Daniel. It may take 3 weeks. It may take 3 months. It may take 3 years. It may take 30 years. George Mueller prayed for, I think it was 3 friends, for 52 years. And one by one they were saved. And I think maybe the last one didn't get saved until he died. He just kept on praying and seeking the face of God. Can you imagine Peter at the door? "Let me in. Let me in." And there may have been someone down in the prison house. And his prayer was different. "Let me out. Let me out." Maybe we know someone who has allowed their life into a real mess. And they may be saying to us, "I want to be free. I want to be set free from my lifestyle." I think about the man of Gadara living among the tombs of all places, cutting himself with rocks, self-abuse, self-harm. He's in a real mess. And really, in his heart, there was this longing just to be like anybody else, to be free. We can relate this to prayer. We need to be praying for those around about us who are in this state of depravity, whose lives are in a mess, who just long for something different to satisfy. Well, we have an obligation before God to keep on knocking at heaven's door. There are people in this congregation who may have sat from the very beginning of the work and they're still not saved. Keep on knocking at heaven's door. There may be someone in your family and you've had the same experience. They're hard and indifferent. They would eat the head off you if you mentioned the gospel to them. Keep on praying. Don't give up. Keep knocking on the door of heaven. You have the example here that Peter, with the angel, comes to the gate of the city. It's okay, we can go into Asda and we walk up to it and the door's open. Magical, isn't it? But they didn't have those kind of doors away back in Bible times. They come up to this door. It's a big door. It's a big gate. It's locked. It's heavy. And this was the last thing that had to be overcome to get Peter out of the prison. And you can imagine the delight as they come walking up and suddenly the door opens of its own accord. This is what the Bible says. God's at work here. The church is praying. God is moving. Peter is about to be released and delivered. The preacher is going to be set free. And so the door swings open. And he's out. The angel disappears. The angel was there to guard him and guide him until he was released. And then it was up to him to make his way back to the place of safety. But now he's at the prayer meeting door. And he's knocking upon the door and he can't get in. Oh, the gate of the city swung open. This big, heavy door. It opens. It was on a cord. But here's Peter standing at the gate. He can't get in. He can't get into the prayer meeting. Sad state of affairs when that happens. Sometimes we have to wait for answers. Mary and Martha said that Lazarus has been in the grave 4 days. It's sitting too late. What's the point bothering the master now? It's too late. There's nothing we can do about it. He's dead. He's in the grave 4 days. He stinketh. But God performed an amazing miracle. A miracle that brought greater glory to the Heavenly Father than had the Savior been there to prevent him from dying. And because he died and was raised, it's recorded there in the book of God for all to read time and time again. This is what God can do in answer to prayer and the power of God. Peter's deliverance came at the last moment. He was due to die the next day. It was a timely intervention. How many times has God intervened in your life? At the very last moment, he just stepped in. Just when the pressure was too great, just when you felt you couldn't go on, you were just on the verge of giving up, just at that very moment, suddenly he stepped into your situation and changed the whole thing. I can relate that as an experience of mine down through the years. The middle of the night, a lot of tension in Jerusalem at that particular time. So they're in the room praying together. It's late, it's dark. And then the knock comes to the gate. And the first thought that came to the mind of the people in the prayer meeting, this may be the secret place. Maybe they found out about Peter. And we need to make sure now before we open the door. They're here to arrest us. The last person they expected was Peter. Oh yes, it mentioned the fervency of their praying. They didn't really expect to see Peter at all. So here we have the interesting parallel. But then we have the immediate problem. So he's at the door. He's knocking away. And we're told here a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. Now the point is, I'm going back to repeat something I mentioned a moment or two ago. When he knocked upon the door the first time, the first time he knocked, someone heard that. Rhoda heard it. And there was a response when he knocked for the first time. And so she makes her way to see who it was, you see. She's all excited now. She hears Peter's voice. She recognizes that voice. But the point is this. She heard the knock the first time. And there was a definite response. And it says she knew Peter's voice. Now, we know from another portion in the Word of God, Matthew 26:73. Remember, it was Peter's voice that gave him away before another maid. When she said, "Thy speech bewrayeth thee," she identified him as a follower of Christ because of his talk, because of the way he spoke. And people ought to be able to identify the children of God by the way they talk. By the way they speak, by the things they speak, by the things they say. She opened not the gate for gladness. She was so surprised, she was overjoyed that she ran back inside to tell the news. And this created an immediate problem. Peter had to wait outside the gate in the dark and escape prisoner. He had to be watchful. Because he didn't know if the soldiers were aware of his escape or not. Maybe someone had followed him. So he had to be watchful and careful. And Jesus says to his disciples, watch and pray. You've got to be on your guard all the time. There's an enemy out there. The devil. Watch and pray. Be on your guard. Every moment standing there, he was in danger. The danger being apprehended. We never know when the enemy will attack. Isn't that right? He had to be on his guard. And Peter was delivered the same night. Maybe you're in the dark tonight. Maybe the darkness is closing in. And your heart is filled with fear. There's great pressure mounting upon you at this point of time. The clouds have descended, the darkness is upon you, and you're in the dark. You may be in the place of danger, as far as you are concerned. But the eye of God was upon Peter there at the door. And the Lord would soon have him on the inside. Maybe you have knocked upon heaven's door about a matter, about a situation involving you or your family, or whatever. And you've made it a matter of prayer. You're doing what the preacher exhorts you to do. You're doing what the Bible tells you to do. And yet every time you come, it seems that the door of heaven is closed to you. It's closed in your face. And it's dark. And the heavens seem to be as brass. But you need to keep on knocking at heaven's door. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Keep on doing it. Exercising faith in the promise of God. It was the same night. And if the door seems to be shut in your face, it's for a reason, of course. We always can't understand that. We always can't accept that. But there's got to be a reason for it. And Rhoda told the people inside the prayer meeting, she told them how Peter stood before the gate, verse 14. Now we have good news to declare. That Christ is out of the tomb. She had good news to declare. Peter's out of prison. But look at the negative response from the people in the prayer meeting. And then we wonder why the world meets us with a negative response when we preach the gospel to them. The people in the prayer meeting had their hearts filled with unbelief. And she constantly affirmed this. She kept on affirming it. She kept on insisting. But they said thou art mad. That's not a very pleasant thing to say, a nice thing to say. The young maid. You're mad. You're out of your mind. But she kept on affirming, yes, it is Peter. It is Peter. Now, these words she constantly affirmed. These words are found, I think, in one other place. And it's associated with the maid. And with Peter on another occasion. This man was also with him. Another constantly affirmed. When Peter denied the Lord. When he denied the Lord was there. But the maid said this man also was with him. And another constantly affirmed. That's the same expression. So Peter had been outside the door according to John. And John, as far as I am concerned, John went out and brought him in. He was outside the door, but John brought him in. And when he was brought inside into this courtyard, it was there he denied the Lord. But now he's outside a closed door and he wants to get in. And this maid, she is constantly affirming, it's Peter. Your prayer has been answered. God has answered your prayer. Would you open the door and let this man in? Believe me. You know, God answers prayer and sometimes it's very hard for us to accept it when it does come as an answer to us. I can remember the time in Orlando, I think I've told you this before, but we had a leak in the roof of the church. A lady came in one Sunday morning and sat down in the seat. And it was wet. We had the nursery beside the church. The rain came through that as well. Over in the old manse where we lived for a while. We had a little dining table. And a dining area. And the water came in through. With the result. All the plaster. Fell down on top of the table. It was a real mess. Water everywhere. We had no money to do anything about it. Small congregation. What are we going to do? Well, I was brave enough, and one Sunday morning, I said, I'm going to ask the Lord for $10,000. All the people in the congregation sat up. Are you crazy? Are you mad? Have you lost your mind? And I just felt like Rhoda, thou art mad, you're out of your mind. But the Ballymena man said, I'm going to prove God. $10,000. Wednesday that week, I get two identical envelopes in the post. I thought someone was taking a hand out of me. They were identical letters and a check in each of them for the same amount, $1,500. No name. We didn't know where it came from, so on. So I opened these two. And I said to Anne, I'm going down to SunTrans Bank in Winter Garden. And I want to make sure these are real before I get too excited. Unbelief, you see. Here I'm praying for $10,000. Two checks arrived the following Wednesday, $3,000. Oh, can this be real? I went mad. You're out of your mind. So I went down to the SunTrans Bank. And I said to the girl, the teller, are these checks real? She looked at me. And she did a few this year. And she looked at me. Yes, sir, they're good. Could you give me just the receipt to make sure I can show this to the congregation? Yes, sir, this is right. $3,000. So on Sunday morning, I took the receipt and I held it up. I said, there's the first installment, $3,000. We still made it $7,000. But within a few days, $2,500, and so on. $10,000. What happened? Away out in the coast, the east coast of Florida, we got a contractor out there who did the three roofs for $10,000. I'm telling you this to glorify God. Because sometimes we pray about a thing and seek the face of God about the thing, and then when we get the answer, we can hardly take it in. This is what God can do. Hallelujah. This is what our God is in the business of doing for his people. So there you are. The next time you get discouraged, you think about the Bellarmine man asking for $10,000. I'm not going to start that here now. I'm just relating a story about what happened in the past, what God can do. So we looked at two things. We've got to move on. The interesting parallel, the immediate problem, and then there's the informative picture. When they opened the door, they were astonished, verse 16. I'm really doubling up here. Many a time, we say God is able, and when he does the impossible, we can hardly credit it. And they're all excited now. But he beckoning to hold their peace. That is, he was still telling them, be quiet. It's the middle of the night. If we keep up this noise, the neighbours will become suspicious. They may report it to the authorities, and really we'll be in a mess. That's why he said, hold your peace. And then he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out, verse 17. Listen to him. These believers have been praying for a number of days. They've prayed earnestly, but they've been lacking in faith. God has answered their prayer. He has brought Peter out of the prison. He's in the prayer meeting now. And he's relating to them what God had done. This is the reason why we have missionary meetings and so on, to encourage us and to keep us praying for those involved in the Lord's work. The angel of the Lord came. The gate of the prison opened all by itself. Oh, the eyes of those gathered there were beginning to pop out of their head. The mouths were wide open. Not a guard in sight. Isn't this truly amazing? My chains fell off. I didn't even need a key. Hallelujah. My chains fell off. No key. What an encouragement this was to the saints. And they were told, after that, after he got them calmed down, it was an exciting time. Boys, if you had prayer meetings like that, it would be tremendous, wouldn't it be? An exciting time. People getting excited about what God has done. Oh, that God would send us a breath from heaven tonight, that we would rejoice again in his goodness. And then he went to another place. That's a wise thing he did. The wise men returned home another way to avoid Herod. Jesus hid himself. For he said, mine hour is not yet come. And Peter then went underground. Now, he just disappears from the scene. And Paul takes over. We know later on he's at Antioch. In Acts 15, he's at the conference there in Jerusalem. We know that. But by and large, he's out of sight now. And he's replaced by Saul. Now, we're told in verse 7 how the angel smote Peter. The same word is found in verse 23. The angel smote Herod. It means to strike. The angel smote both. And the preacher was released. And the persecutor was removed. One was delivered and the other died. One was saved, the other was slain. And Thomas Watson said, the angel brought Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that brought the angel out of heaven. And you know something? It was only when they opened the door that they saw Peter. It was only when Pharaoh's daughter opened the ark she saw Moses. It was only when the wise men opened the treasure that Mary and Joseph saw the gifts. And it is only when we open this book that we will see Christ. It's only when we open this book we'll see Christ. Have you been in the book today? Have you been in the Word today? And so Luke concentrates in this narrative of how Herod's plan was thwarted by the divine intervention of God. And God acted in response to the prayers of the church. And the kingdom of God advances, the gospel prospers. Because the church prayed and sought the face of God. Here's the emphasis upon the progress of the gospel. And it was not hindered by the death of one apostle or the imprisonment of another. When the church prays, the cause of God will go forward. Don't we need to pray because of the interference of the gospel? We need to pray because we have an example here in Acts chapter 11. The church prayed without ceasing. When the need was there, they kept on praying. And then they rejoiced when God came and intervened in grace. May the Lord teach us to pray tonight. Think about Peter knocking on the door. As many as possible, join in now to pray with us. As we seek the face of God, we'll go on to about 9:10 or so. And there's no reason why 8 or 9 couldn't pray for a few minutes each. No reason at all. Let's have a good lively prayer meeting. If somebody prays for one thing, you pray for something else. Or if the Lord leads you to pray for the same thing, that's okay. But share it around. There's so much to pray for. Let's go down together. Seek the Lord's face. We'll ask our brother, Mr. McIntyre, Brother Albert, if he would lead us, please, in prayer. Then as many as possible, feel free to engage after our brother has led us to the throne of grace. God bless you.